Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
By the way, there's like almost all of these questions are very long, like very long-winded. So I'm going to try to like summarize certain ones. But
yes. And by the way, that's not a critique at you guys. We're just trying to boil it down.
No, I just don't want you to get sick of my question reading voice. Yes. You know?
It is drawl.
Thank you. I'm trying to get through it fast.
That's not a compliment. Please don't take it as one.
Thank you.
Don't take it as a compliment. It's a very annoying voice.
Thank you. So sweet. Thank you.
I hate your positive affirmations. It's ruining my ability ruining to get to you. Everything. I'm trying to neg you.
Trying to get my goat? You can have all my goats. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hey, my name is Steve Green. I'm waving into the camera right now if you're watching this on the YouTubes.
Yeah, but if you're not watching on YouTubes, you...
I'm waving at you through the microphone right now.
Just so you know, he's waving at you. Waving at you, too. I'm waving at you so hard
right
now.
That's mean. Don't do that.
What?
If you can't see that, she was just flipping you guys off.
I wasn't.
I'm just having your guys back.
I was waving. I do that to Steve all the time. It means I love him.
That's very true.
So today, I'm very excited because we have so many questions that you have submitted that we will attempt to answer. Again, we are not professionals. Professional advice givers, but if you want to hear our dumb opinions based on our life experiences, you've come to the right place.
We are not good at advice, but what we are good at is trying to act like we are good at advice.
Yes, we are excellent at acting like we are good at advice.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you ready for the first question?
Hell
you ready
yeah.
for the first advice we're about to give? I like the title of this one, so it's it stuck out to me.
Here
immediately.
Comes the advice. It's
All
coming
right.
at you.
The title of this is, I think I might be a bitch. How do I not be one? That's the best title. Good job. So it's kind of long, but I'll try to break it down. So, hey, Nikki and Steve, if you keep me anonymous, that would be awesome. You got it, guy.
Okay, but do you love the show?
He does.
Okay,
well,
okay. Does he say?
He doesn't. Oh, he
what
doesn't
the hell?
Say.
He doesn't say he loves the show. Skip it.
Wow.
Skip it.
He doesn't even say.
He don't care.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right, anonymous guy.
Awkward.
I'm a 25-year-old guy working on a PhD, and I've been recently thinking about my social life / skills or lack thereof. This all started when I watched a JK News episode about the red flags in a relationship. This was a quote-unquote red flags that a relationship that people should watch out for. Damn, I'm botching this. In a relationship that people should watch out for, things like being too possessive / needy, having the nice guys finish last mentality, obsessing over the one girl in your head, not talking to women and then wondering, why aren't there any women in my life? Not having an opinion about anything in fear that it might contradict with what your crush might think. In the JK News episode, Steve brought up that point that guys that think like this / act like this grew up to be rapists. Not an exact quote, just an idea he was trying to get across.
Paraphrasing, but yes. I'll stand by those comments.
The thing is, I've had those thoughts. I've acted that way. I have a history of having that attitude slash behavior, but I don't want to anymore. And I definitely don't want to be a rapist slash bitch.
Nice.
I've never been in a relationship or date before. And after watching that JK episode, it makes sense why. I've got friends who are married and some who actually have kids. And I feel like I've regressed so much socially that I might end up taking a path so far removed from the ones my friends have. Nowadays, I'm more conscious of my behavior. If I catch myself thinking about a crush too much, I try to distract myself with other activities like drawing or playing outside. I don't think of myself as deserving her because I'm nice. This one especially, like, the fuck kind of thinking is that? I realize that my wishy-washy behavior when it comes to being opinionated about anything stems from my fear of, quote-unquote, if I say something she doesn't like, I'm going to lose my shot with her. In this fear, in turn, is just a manifestation of my lack of self-confidence because I truly, no matter how many times I would try to tell myself otherwise, don't think I could find a girl on my own.
He's a fast learner.
He's very analytical.
Yeah.
He says, writing that fucking sucks because it just oozes with weak ass bitch attitudeness.
No, but, you're realizing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he says it's me being honest. But I just can't think myself out of being kind of weird or socially awkward. I don't think it's actually possible to just meditate in one's room for hours on end and achieve self-confidence. I think you actually have to fall off the bike a few times in real life around people to train yourself into thinking more highly of yourself. How does a 25-year-old dude in a PhD program get himself into a social setting more often and train himself to be socially normal again? Bonus question, if you have the time, do you think it'd be wise for me to maybe not date for like a year or something and just try socializing for the sake of socializing? Or would it actually help if I went out on dates? Thanks so much for listening to the absolute nonsense that was this email. Any advice is really appreciated.
Whatever,
best regards, Anonymous.
Nice, Anonymous. Whatever, yeah. You could do to make yourself not sound like you're analyzing humans would be helpful. And all I mean by that is at the end there, he's like, should I not date for a year and just go out and be sociable and see how that goes?
Yeah, well, so I have some thoughts on that because I could see both ways going. If you're just going to take a break from dating and go be social, I think that could build confidence if you're not ready yet to go on a date.
Yes.
You know, if you're not even sure if you can even have a conversation with a human being, then yeah, I think you
should
be.
But he's in his head.
But I don't think you should set a time for like, I will not date for a year so I can learn to become social.
Yes, correct.
I think it's more like, I will, you know, just try socializing, see how conversations go, and then take it from there.
Yeah, you're in your head, brother. I think I'm glad that I got through to you with that, because that's why I use that language, is so that the people listening who are that person goes, holy shit, I'm that person. And that's what I want to have happen. I want to break you free of that mentality, because I've been there too, man. Like when I was a teenager, I was definitely there too. And I wish that I had somebody to tell me that shit.
You wish that this was some shit that they told you?
I don't know what that means, but yeah, I do. Now what you need to do, since you're having this realization, now you can put the work in, which is you just have to try to not think about things when you're talking to people. It sounds to me like you're such an analytical person that when you're talking to someone, you freeze up because you're thinking so hard about how you're talking to someone instead of just listening to them, which is really, you know, why I always say nice guys think that they should get pussy because they're nice guys, like just because they're nice and that therefore I deserve a woman is so silly to me. And that's a similar mentality to like, hey, I'm having a conversation with you. I'm going to try to pretend to be something instead of just like listening to to you talking to me, Nikki.
Yeah.
And answering what you're saying. I'm thinking about what you might want me to think.
Yeah, what you might think is cool. So I'll make sure to say the exact right thing.
And
that
you're disservicing them and you.
Right. Because you know what? People don't just want people that think like them.
No.
In fact, I broke up with a guy because we only dated for like a month, but we went on a few dates and like, I would try to have an intellectual discussion with him about stuff and he would just ask me what I thought and then agree wholeheartedly with whatever I said. And it's not interesting. It's not interesting to like have someone that just reiterates the same points that you just made and like agree with you all the time. I love hearing Steve's opinion, especially when it's different than me.
Me too.
Because it's like, it's interesting. And if a girl's going to be like, oh, well, I don't like you because you have a different opinion or like you said something weird, then that's not someone you should date.
Move on.
Because the person that you're going to be happy with is someone that's going to think that you're interesting based on your own thoughts, not off of what you think they want to hear.
Yes.
But I mean, that being said, I feel like I've been guilty of this in social situations, not around... I don't know, maybe not so much around guys that I had a crush on, but more like wanting to fit in with a group of girls, actually, like, you know, like around girl groups, because I felt like my interests were so different than what the typical girl liked, like that, at least the ones that I had met, that I didn't know how to fit in. I know they were all talking about pop culture or fashion or like stuff like that. And I had no idea how to like fit into those topics. So I would try to like do research before going.
Oh, shit.
I was super analytical like this guy, where like I would try to actually research like current pop culture events and things that I knew that might come up in conversation, just so like I could fit in with like their group. And it was torture. It was like, honestly, I'd rather have no girlfriends than go through that again, because like if someone isn't going to be your friend because you like a different thing than them, then you're not supposed to be friends.
You know what?
Shouldn't be this hard.
You know what my grandpa always used to do is, and my mom does this all the time too, is they talk to the TV. Oh. And there's something about that I think is helpful for people. Where, like, with the TV saying something, instead of just sitting there and internalizing what you're hearing, they're talking back to the TV, like, hey, no, I have an opinion too. I have a take on
really?
This.
Really? Like,
yeah.
Can you give an example?
The old man we used to, I mean, you know, whatever the fuck is happening. It doesn't matter if it's the weather report. He's like, that's a bunch of bullshit. It's 87 here.
Oh, yeah, my dad does that too.
It's not 81. You know what I mean? And like, you know, for him, it's like, yeah. He's trying to set the TV straight, but he knows he's not talking to anybody, but he's getting his feelings out there. And maybe for you, Anonymous, just listening to us right now, just talk back to us, dude. How do you actually feel right now? Like, that's all a conversation is.
Yeah.
Is you're engaging back with somebody who's talking about something, and that doesn't mean you have to bump heads against us or create conflict. It just means that you're giving your opinion. Maybe you think what I just said is full of shit, and well, you're like, that's full of shit.
Also, like, what helped me is like listening and then like asking questions that I'm actually curious about. If I have no idea what the subject is, right? Like, let's say you're talking to a girl and she's like, you're like, what do you like? And she's like, I like to watercolor, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like super passionate about it. Like, asking questions that I'm actually curious about, because it's like finding something that you're actually interested in, not faking interest, but like something that you're actually interested in that they're saying. So like, oh wow, how long did it take you to learn that? Or like how many colors did you have to pick to like find the perfect blah blah blah?
And you're just asking an honest question about something that you don't know about.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's no agenda.
No,
you're not trying to figure something out.
You're just like, learning a new thing.
And that's part of hosting, and that's part of life.
Yeah.
Like you're an excellent host, by the way.
Thank
even
you.
On our rival show, like our competitor show, Hey Bitch, our major competitor show.
Yeah.
No, but one
check
thing
out
that
Hey Bitch.
One thing that Nikki does really well, I feel, is that she's able to hear something that's being said, and then she tries to translate it for the people listening who maybe don't understand that. And I try to do that all the time.
Yeah, you do that as well.
I try to do that. That's one of my biggest things that I feel very strongly about, is trying to make it relatable to whoever's listening, right? And that's all you should be trying to do in a conversation, is trying to understand where they're coming from. And so don't worry about anything else. You don't have to research or sit down with people.
You don't just have to agree with people.
Right. Just try to figure out what your feelings are, what your takes are, and then take it from there. And yeah, it's really not as hard as it sounds. I know that this sounds easy for me because you're like, oh, Steve's super extrovert and all this shit. But I used to be you, man. I was. And I realized how much I didn't like to be that guy.
Yeah.
After I broke him. So you can do it too, trust me.
Yeah, I think self-acceptance is a huge thing. Because like once I accepted how weird I was, or like how, not weird, that's like not.
No, I know what you mean.
Not in a negative way, but like right. I accepted that I was different and I liked different things than other peers that I was talking to. And instead of trying to like constantly fit in and like give off this vibe like you're trying too hard, you know, honestly.
Yes.
And you're thirsty and stuff, and like instead of that, which I feel like you're paraphrasing as being a bitch, you know.
Yeah,
like that's exactly what that is you're being too thirsty, you're trying too hard to be something you're not, just so that you can be liked or accepted.
Well, you have to feel like a bitch doing that, because you're leaning so hard on the other person.
Yeah,
that
you're trying to bend.
You don't have
you
legs
are
under you.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I remember, for a particular memory, I was probably 14 years old. I had just been hanging out with this chick. She came over to me and my buddy's place, and we all watched a movie together or whatever. And then when she was leaving, I was like totally thinking I was going to get to kiss this chick or something. And then, like, she just hugged me and left. And I remember looking at the moon and being like, of course I have to pay. You know, shit like that.
Really?
Oh, sure. Because, and I didn't make a move. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She came over, watched a movie with us. She wasn't there for my friend.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't do anything. But then I'm like, of course I have to pay. See what I'm saying? Like, that kind of person assumes that just because, like, you got her in the room or whatever, it should all happen the way that you're imagining it should happen.
Yeah. Well, what did you imagine? Like, she'd make the first move?
I didn't know. I was so young.
You just were like, in the movies, they just kiss.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You think you're going to have a moment. You think you're looking into each other's eyes and all this shit.
Yeah.
But really, people are fucking awkward and they're like, okay, yeah, I'll see you. Hey, but nice talking to you.
I went for the kiss after our first date.
That's damn straight she did.
Yeah.
And I looked at the moon after and I was like, I did it.
I did it. You have to take, that's what I realized is like, if you want a moment to happen, you just have to take it. Like take the risk and then do it. Like the worst that can happen is they're like, whoa, that was weird. You weirdo, you freak.
Yes.
It's like, okay, well, if you thought that was weird, I misread things completely and like, this isn't a good fit.
And there's nothing wrong with it not being a good fit either, brother. So we just took up a whole lot of time to respond to your question. You should be paying for this like an ad. We're going to send you a bill.
We give such excellent non-professional advice.
Yes.
And we're very good at acting like we give good advice. So.
But now we got to go be relatable to somebody else. So we got to go, man.
Yeah, we got to go. I'm going to bill you. By the way, there's like almost all of these questions are very long, like very long-winded. So I'm going to try to like summarize certain ones. But
yes. And by the way, that's not a critique at you guys. We're just trying to boil it down.
No, I just don't want you to get sick of my question reading voice.
Yes.
You know,
it is drawl.
Thank you. I'm trying to get through it fast.
That's not a compliment. Please don't take it as one.
Thank you.
Don't take it as a compliment. It's a very annoying voice.
Thank you. So sweet. Thank you.
I hate your positive affirmation. It's ruining my ability to get to you. Everything. I'm trying to neg you. I'm
trying to get my goat. You can have all my goats. Thank you for taking them. Okay. This question is titled, Another Foolish Man. Love it already. This one's not too long, so I'll read it verbatim. But hey, Nikki and Steve, I love the podcast and everything y'all do.
Well, thank you. God.
Is that so hard?
Just give us a compliment,
just give
will
us a little compliment. We live for the crumbs.
We're not getting a bunch, by the way. So.
Oh, we get a fair amount.
But of a compliment?
Yeah, but we live on it. Like we need it every day.
I need it
ourselves.
Like every 30 minutes.
We need
please.
Sustenance.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We need validation. All right. Please don't ever stop. Oh my gosh. Keeps going. Okay, great. So my girlfriend and I have been together for almost 2 years and have been living together almost a whole year. I love her so much and want her to be the one I go through the journey of life with. However, recently we've been talking about kids and she feels like due to complications that she is unable to have children. She knows I want kids more than anything and I believe that because of this, she thinks that things would be better off if we separated, but there's no 100% proof that she can't. We've been arguing so much since, and I just feel like it's because she'd prefer to end this because she thinks she can't give me the kids I want, which means this whole relationship is pointless. Talking to her about it has been so hard because sometimes I feel like we're talking different languages. I love this woman and want to keep this going and don't want to accept that this woman can't be the mother of my children, but it just feels like she's given up. What do I do? It's becoming so hard lately, and I just want to make her happy. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Make her feel more secure.
Yeah, and also... I don't know if you're doing this, but it's not about you. Because if this woman really loves you, and this isn't just an excuse to break up with you, maybe she doesn't know how to break up with you or like whatever, but let's assume that she loves you just as much as you love her, and she really feels like she can't have kids due to complications, that's a really hard thing to process as like a woman. Like, I know people that have had miscarriages, and it's a really... hard thing when your biological purpose is like designed to have children and then you're told in some way that you might not be able to fulfill that.
And let's be real, it's your purpose, you know what I mean?
Especially if you feel like you always wanted to have kids and then that was like kind of taken away from you.
Yeah,
that's a really, really hard thing for someone to go through. And I know you said it's not 100% proven that she can't have kids. Maybe definitely get that tested out first, but maybe she doesn't want to get it tested because if it is 100% proven, that it will confirm to her that she's kind of broken in some way. In her own mind, she's not broken, and you know that, and she knows that. But she becomes
inadequate.
But she feels
to her.
Exactly, and she feels like, oh no, I can't give the person that I love the most the thing that they want the most, and that's Man, I can't imagine. That's really fucking hard.
It's hard.
And so when you're coming out or like, you know, solution based, a lot of guys, when like especially always. Steve, when we're like in this thing, it is kind of like we're speaking different languages because I'm trying to process an emotion and he's trying to come up with logical solutions.
Orbits.
Yeah, or
depending.
Bits. Depending, yeah. Thank you. But yeah, you coming up with solutions like, hey, we can fix this because this can happen. Like, let's go over here and get tested and make sure we can have kids and blah, blah, blah,
isn't
blah.
Isn't this great? We can actually get this figured out.
Yeah.
Like, why don't we solve the problem? And she's going, I'm not ready to face the problem.
Right, exactly.
And she's trying to tell you that, but she doesn't know how.
And so maybe to her, because it's so important to you and you're pushing it really hard, maybe she feels like separating will make both situations more peaceful, you know, where she can go and figure this out and you'll be happy with like having kids with somebody. And maybe it's not what she wants, but maybe she's just like feeling very pressured and this is a lot to take in.
And it's not clear to me, does she like want kids?
It doesn't say.
It seems like he wants kids pretty bad, and she's like, hey, if you want kids so bad, like move on. Like I'm not too clear, and that's not, I'm not saying that you worded it wrong or anything. I think there's a little bit of info, perhaps.
Yeah, true. There's a lot of variables, so you know it could be that
like
she doesn't want
kids.
Like you
could always adopt, and if she was way down to raise kids with you, you could do that.
Yeah.
Like is there a desire on her part to raise kids? It sounds to me, I don't know.
Right. There is a lot of unknowns here because, I mean, depending on what the actual situation is, could go a couple different ways. So one, she could just not be interested anymore. Maybe like
she's trying to use this as an out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, because in a year and a half, 2 years, that's kind of the make or break it point, like where you kind of know if you're going to go on or not. And so, I don't know, it's really hard to get out. So maybe that could be something that you might want to consider. But if she is like really committed and into you in the relationship, maybe just give her some space.
And if you love her, man, have her back, bro.
Yeah.
Like you love her, right? So like even if this is the great goodbye and it's like, hey, this isn't going to work out, supporting her because she biologically can't have children, which is a tough thing to cope with, is the move. That is the move. Even if you guys are going to break up, that having her back and not making her feel less because of this shit is tight.
Right. Because he says, I love this woman and want to keep this going and don't want to accept that this woman can't be the mother of my children.
Right.
But it feels like she's given up. It's that, I think that's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to accept that this is not the one that will bear your children. Right. And maybe, I don't know, that if someone was like that and I already thought like maybe there was a chance that my body wasn't going to be able to have kids and you were like, I can't accept that you won't be the mother of my children.
I would find a way.
That makes me feel broken.
I'm Jeff Goldblum on this shit, dude. Like, I will find a way.
Yeah.
Because I pick you, you know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where even if we couldn't have kids, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'd stay with me even if I couldn't have kids.
Of course. Yeah. It's not even a question.
So it's not like you won't accept that I couldn't be the mother of your children.
That's not even a conversation I would have.
We've even been like, when we hear about stories about women dying in childbirth, Steve's been like, no kids, not worth it.
Oh, you're right. There's no way those little shits will give me any kind of fulfillment that you give me. There's no way.
Yeah.
So,
well, we don't know that for sure, but
no, I do know that for sure. I already picked you ahead of them.
Aw.
I'm just saying, like, if my future kids are listening right now, I like her more than you. I stand by it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm undecided.
I understand.
I'm just kidding. It's such a shitty thing to say back.
That's the best. Hey, look, if you already like me better than Franklin, which you've told me maybe twice in our relationship, that's pretty. Well, I got a
and
chance.
The times that I've told you, you kind of needed me to say
it. Oh, yeah. I needed to hear it.
Franklin's my cat, by the way.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering.
This is
a hard topic to, you know, give actual advice on because there's so many variables and that's like a situation that's kind of tough and health issues are really hard.
If you love her, if you want her to be your life partner, you will
fight
for her.
Then just accept,
no matter what.
Fight for her and accept whatever she might be going through.
If you're a little bit halfway out because you want those kids to look like you and whoever your wife's going to be, then you kind of know your answer already. And we love you anyway.
Like you mean if he's not in for adopting?
Yeah, if he's not into it, like he wants to have kids that are like
from his
kids
genetics.
And all that. Yeah, sure. Because I don't think that adopted kids are your kids. is what I was trying to say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
shout out to all the adopted kids out there.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We'll give you a shout out because it's not like folks will.
All right. So I hope that helps. But yeah, man, that's tough. Okay. The next one is.
Is this a fun one?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding. Of course.
Oh, there's
not.
A cute little meme with a cat and it says help.
Hey, that's fun.
That's cute. All right. We're down. So, hey, y'all. Found you when you were first on JK News and fell in love with the both of you. Aw, we love you.
Thank you.
I'm probably going to send y'all a gift because, Zam, I'm a fan. LOL. Anyway. I'm mentally / emotionally drained, like Nikki type of sad when she's sad. 23-year-old white-collar worker from Toronto in need of life advice. Question one, what can I do when I barely have time for hobbies or a social life, but my job pays for the bills and a lot more? I really don't enjoy my job because it's emotionally and mentally draining. I cry almost every night and I've worked there for 7 months. This would be a deal breaker for most, but this job pays so well compared to others for the same position that I'm reluctant to leave. For context, management sucks from team leads to higher ups, and it's every woman for herself, or you get yelled at by the director, who is also happens to manage HR, so nowhere to complain since the company overlooks this issue. Borderline, if not already, abusive treatment, i.e. swearing all over the place, calls at 10 p.m. to yell at people. Do I resign or push a few more years after I put a down payment for a place? Question two, I have a creative spark and I want to chase the blogger life, but because of the above, I have no energy and don't want to look at my laptop because I've looked at the laptop all day for work. Does this mean my passion isn't there? Sincerely, a girl teeter-tottering between money and mental health. Sorry if this email was too long, but I hope you answer.
Perfect length. Well worded.
And has a wonderful kitten meme.
Perfect use of memes.
You need to look on YouTube.
Thank you for not using too big of words for my simple brain.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Gracias.
Grassy ass, grassy. I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. So you're in a job that pays really well, but you want to be creative. And you can't be creative after doing this job. What do you got?
I already know. No, I want to hear yours first.
You want her to quit?
Hell yeah.
Really?
But you go first.
I think you should stay in the job. Give it 30 years.
I'm like,
and
fuck
then
the
in 30
man.
Years, after you paid off your mortgage, go do whatever you want.
Yeah.
What? That's the American
dream. 23, you'll be 53. That's still young.
When you're 67, go attack your dream as hard as you motherfucking can.
Yes.
Give it your all.
Mm-hmm. And love your body, you know, love yourself.
Oh, God, yeah.
Post a bunch of booty pics.
Yes.
Please.
Twerk.
Yes.
Send twerk.
Twerk it.
Send twerk shots out.
Twerk holograms, because by that time it'll be the future and you could just like hologram yourself into a room. I'm going to hologram all kinds of people with my twerking.
Yep.
Anyway, we've got an off subject. So.
I hope your premeditated answer was just about twerking.
Yes, that was my answer.
Okay, good.
I relate to this with waitressing. So waitressing in LA at the places that I was waitressing at, it paid really good money. Like, and you'd always have cash on hand. I guess not like really. I mean, define really good money.
I mean, it was pretty bomb.
It was decent money for that entry level type of job.
Yeah.
And I always had cash, and I was stressed out of my fucking mind, and I would go home. Like, work didn't just stay at work. I would go home, and then I would be thinking about the ketchup I forgot to bring to table nine, and how that makes sense why they didn't tip me that much, because I forgot their water refill or whatever the fuck. And I would go home with
and yelled at.
Dreams about it. I'd get yelled at. I'd get called in on my day off to talk about like some stupid problem that happened on one of my shifts or whatever. It was really draining, really stressful, and it took away from my creative time, like the time where I was supposed to be spending not working there. I was so drained from working that fucking job that it was really hard to full force go creatively in the direction I wanted to go professionally as an actor and as a stand-up and creative person.
And that's, by the way, why I treat waiters and waitresses like shit.
Right.
Because I think it motivates them to go attack their dream a little harder.
Yes.
And what if everyone was so nice to you guys? I think you'd probably still be there waitressing, right?
Sure. Yeah, maybe. Well, here's the thing. So I got laid off from this really fancy waitressing place I was at, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because even though I was really shook that I was like, oh my God, how am I going to pay my bills? I feel like because that door was closed, it left room open for other doors to open. I feel that like when you're using something as a placeholder where you're like, oh, I'll just do this until such and such happens. Like, I know people that date that way where they're like, well, I'm just dating this guy until I meet the right guy.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And when you have a placeholder there, you're actually closed off to this other really great option out here. And you don't even realize that. It's like subconsciously you've closed yourself off to that. But when you free yourself and you're open to these other opportunities, you actually get a lot more of them. And I can't predict your life. Like, let's say you quit your job and then no opportunities come. You're like, why didn't Nikki tell me to quit her job,
right.
quit my job and stuff? I'm just saying that, like, even if you got a less stressful job that paid less, you're still able to take care of your bills and stuff. I think the creativity would open for you to be able to explore this other passion that you have and not be scared to look at the computer screen at the end of the day and actually get to see if this is a viable career path for you. Because right now you're unable to even explore that option because you're so stressed out from the job that you work every day. And by the way, no one needs that kind of toxicity in their life. Like, a job should end when you stop working. Like, when you go home for the day from work, they shouldn't be calling you at 10 p.m. at night.
Yeah, but the big dick jobs don't do that, man.
Well,
like, she's talking about real money here. Like, she's talking probably six figures or some shit.
Well, if it's six figures.
Because, like, I know Wall Street, a lot of those cats, they don't get a break.
The other thing I was going to bring up was that I know people that stayed at that restaurant job that got handcuffed because they were like, I'm making such good money. I can't, like, they came here to be actors, but they're like, I'm making such good money. I can't leave this for an audition or whatever. And so they lost those opportunities. They ended up going on to become managers, and, like, some of them are, like, district whatevers, and they make pretty good money, like $80,000 to a six-figure type of income, but they're fucking miserable because they gave up.
So that's, like, what I want to say is that I quit my job at this high-rise downtown, talk about it a million times, who cares? Point being, it was really stressful because I was about to start working at Maker Studios. They asked me to come on as a staff writer, and I was basically, like, going to get way less money, right? But because it was in the space and a creative thing, I just took the fucking leap.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest thing to do. Like, it was hard because I was like, man, I'm going to get way less money. This is difficult. But ultimately, I'm so glad I did it. I, like, looking back on that decision, I'm like, thank God I did that shit. But you don't know in the moment. It's so fucking scary and daunting looking.
I feel like there's this little voice in everyone, and it's called your intuition. And a lot of people like to ignore it because we're in this society, we're praised for logic and all of that stuff.
They sword fight their intuition
and
with
these
logic.
The logic is an important skill to have. Like, it's very good for structuring a plan, a game plan of action. It's good analyzing things and being able to use that data to improve yourself is very good to have. It's a very good skill. But it can't come at the expense of your intuition, because I think some people pride themselves on the fact they made a logical choice, a safe choice over the risky, like, freedom
choice.
Go
talk to your parents, man, if they're not doing what they love. They say the same shit.
Yeah.
And I love them, but the whole argument of, like, well, it's, you know, you got to take care of this before you take care of that and all that shit, it keeps creative people from doing what they want to do.
It really does. And the more that you do that, the more that you justify it with all the logic. And by the way, the logic can be really solid. Like, got to pay bills. You got to, you know, like, you can save up. You can make a down payment. Logic is really good at convincing you to deny your intuition. But I think that if more people were in tune with listening to that little voice inside of them and actually, like, giving it some love, like, I'm not saying quit your job today. I'm saying, like, explore it, being able to explore that, and then until you get to a place where you might want to take a leap of faith, because you're like, I'm 23, I'm young, if I fuck up now, I still have so much life left to fix it. Like, you know, I think in your 20s, fall on your fucking face. Like, that's the time to do that, you know. That's the time that you take those leaps of faith. And anyway, I'm never going to give you, like, the perfect advice, because, you know, it's all about it's everyone's whole thing is personal.
I will give you perfect advice. Don't get a dog at 23 because it will restrict you from doing all kind of shit.
Yeah.
You have to worry about where the fucking dog is, and I can't go do a 6-hour shoot because I got a dog at home. Don't do that shit. I did that shit. Don't do that shit. You're welcome. Don't get a dog. Thank you.
Great advice. That's solid.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
wait till you're 65. To accomplish your dreams, because that'll be way more responsible. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Cool. And on that note, we are taking a break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well.
Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, we're back.
Welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. This episode is sponsored by your parents. Hey, you should probably be responsible out there. Don't start doing nothing that we wouldn't do.
Is that a quote?
And that has been the ad read from your parents. Yeah, there you go.
Wonderful. Is there a code or anything? Or no, it's just like...
Oh, yeah, use the code DAD. and he'll give you a free advice all the time, whether you want it or not. Use the code DAD. And it's 100% free.
All right.
Yeah. Hell, I don't know how they make money on it.
I don't think they do.
I think that they're... yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question.
All right. Well, thanks for sponsoring us, your parents.
Yeah.
Okay. The next question... it's titled "I Heart Shit They Don't Tell You." Oh my god, thank you so much.
Thank you. Seriously, it's been 7 minutes since I got validation. Thank you.
Hi, Nikki and Steve. I'm a big fan of your podcast. Oh my god, thank you so much. Thanks for keeping me company on the way to work. Steve and I have the same sense of humor, so it's always glorious. What about me?
You're a great man or woman.
I don't have the same sense of humor?
No.
Well, shit.
You're doing hacky shit. You're doing hacky puns.
Well, that's true. I do like puns, but besides that, I like dark sarcasm humor. Anyway, short version.
How about you do some?
Hey, eat shit.
Okay, cool.
Short version. I would like any advice you have on 1, listening to my instincts instead of second guessing myself. 2, being more proactive and confident in my own decisions. 3, how to stop thinking that everyone is judging my life choices. Over the past couple years, my primary goal has been to work on my confidence both professionally and socially, and I certainly feel like I've made some progress. I'm not as shy as I was when I was in school, and I feel like I'm becoming more open-minded. However, there are some things I feel like I need help with, and I was hoping to get perspective from you guys. 1, I have trouble committing to anything, job, relation, etc. The pressure of making a choice causes me to second guess everything, and then I don't get anything done. Second guessing also causes me to keep ideas and opinions to myself, even if I think if I know they're useful. Do you have any tips on being more assertive and decisive? 2, I have a very reactive personality. I don't prepare for situations. I deal with them as they happen, and this gets me into trouble, and I run into problems like a financial crisis. And lastly, I feel like these things are affecting my social life, whether it's my family, friends, or dating. I feel like my family is disappointed in me because I'm not as active in my decision making. I sometimes hide the truth about things I'm doing from my friends, even if they're things I enjoy and have been out of the dating scene for a while, again, because I don't want to disappoint the person I'm dating. Do you have any tips for just being myself and not worrying about everyone's opinions of me? I appreciate you all taking the time to read this. Sorry for the long email. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you in advance. Alexander R. P.S. I have read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck and it has really helped me. P.P.S. Question for Steve. Has Nikki ever listened to Eminem? I don't think she's ever mentioned him on the podcast before. I think she might like his music.
I'm not sure.
I think I've mentioned it a couple times.
I don't know when.
Oh, like that one we did where like I talked about how Eminem was my biggest influence. Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway. All right. So there you go. Go ahead. Start it off.
You need to make a list of
really funny guy. And there might be a lot of dark humored ass jokes in there too. You're I want a lot of jokes.
Can I say I like you jealous? I like
I'm
you jealous.
So petty.
Yeah. Okay, my man, Alex. I think you need to make a list of exactly who Alex is because I don't think you know. That's my take.
Oh, true.
I think that you should take a piece of paper and you should write down who you feel Alex is, but who you actually are. Don't be full of shit. Like, you know who you are.
Well, he has the same sense of humor as Steve King.
Right, so he knows that, right? So he already knows that.
But not.
So what else does he know about Alex? Limo. That's correct. He thinks that puns are hack. He's a man of fine character,
but
fine
taste.
But
they're cool in rap songs, aren't they?
They are, actually. You contextualize that for me in a successful way, but I don't remember what context to use it in. Anyway.
Again, eat shit.
Point being, I don't think you know who Alex is, and so I think that you're compensating, perhaps, in a lot of avenues because of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think that that's a problem a lot of people have.
I think so too.
It's a very general underlying issue for all the issues that he has. But
well, there's a lot of points on that bullet list, my man.
There is.
So
yeah.
So can you cycle back through a couple of those?
Yeah. So because he reiterates them. So he has trouble committing to anything like a job, relationship. The pressure of making a choice causes him to second guess everything, and then he doesn't get anything done. That and also second guessing causes him to keep ideas to himself. I can relate to that because I commit to things but too hard, and so then it takes up all my time, and then I don't have any time for anything.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I'm like being bad at my commitments because I'm so spread thin.
When it comes to second guessing, there's almost nothing I've ever made that I'm completely 100% satisfied with. So if I waited and waited and waited to do something that I was 100% satisfied with, I would not have done anything.
Yeah. The key is to just do.
Yes.
Don't stop thinking so much.
Yes.
And just do.
But then he also says that he does that because he gets himself into financial problems too. So he's impulsive.
Well, he says he has a reactive personality. He doesn't prepare for situations. He deals with them as they happen. So what it sounds like is that you're like, you don't like making decisions. So you're like, oh, if I do this and that and then this and that. And then you get so like in your head about what to do that you want to shut your brain off, and then you do nothing. And then you didn't prepare for anything.
Mm.
So then you have this like financial crisis, or you have like some other problem because you just didn't want to make a decision back here.
Yeah.
So
I think you nailed it.
I think it would help you to write down what your goals are. Like just as you know,
yes.
Maybe make two lists. Make a list of who Alex is.
Oh, that's part of
and
who Alex is.
What
Alex
goals
wants.
Are,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
And when you're making your decisions, what decision matches up best to that goal? Like what's going to get you to that goal fastest? I know it sounds really simple, but a lot of people don't like take the time to really think about it that way, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and I'm not talking about, again, not logically like, well, I want the one that makes me rich, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm talking about what's the one that makes your heart feel happy, you know? Like,
totally.
What's the one that like, you get that little tingle of excitement when you think about doing, you know? Not the, a lot of people just are like, well, I want to be really successful. Well, what the fuck does that mean?
Dude, I was on JK News yesterday and this chick's like, I want to be famous. And I'm like, good for you for just admitting it.
Yeah.
But, well, it was awesome.
But a lot of people say that. And like you said at Playlist one time, like a lot of people, you asked who wants to be famous. Everyone raises their hand. And then you're like, what do you want to be famous for?
Yes.
And nobody knows.
Yes.
Because the value is put in the wrong place, my friend. You have to figure out what like makes you really fucking happy and excited to do, and then go about getting successful or famous or making money from that thing.
Yes.
Not the other way around. Not this thing makes a lot of money, so I'll try to develop passion for it. Don't do that.
No, you get yelled at work, like our chick.
Yeah, like our chick. Anonymous. I don't know if she wanted to be anonymous or not.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, you heard it. And if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it again and rate us 5 stars. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You listened to it twice for free, but you give me 5 stars?
At least
thank
5 stars. 6 if you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that making decisions alone is a skill you are going to have in life no matter what the fuck you end up doing. I hate making decisions too.
Until you get married and then you make decisions as a unit.
Or you make your wife make all the decisions, and then she stresses the fuck out, and she drinks wine every
financial
night.
Financial decisions, yeah.
That's true. That's true. I volunteered for that one.
You wanted it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we're pretty 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So what were we talking about? Alex.
I don't even know. I was thinking about our bank statement.
Oh, and the last thing is that these things are affecting his social life. Well, yeah, that's because it's affecting your self-confidence and ability to make decisions. Your self-confidence is going to come from your ability to solve problems. You are not solving any of your problems because you're not making any decisions. So
you're not feeling any movement in your life, my friend. So when you're in social situations, you don't feel like you've accomplished things, so you feel guilty for being there.
Right.
And that sucks.
And self-esteem. You know, he says that the second-guessing himself causes him to keep his ideas and opinions to himself, even if they're useful. That's because you're not confident.
You can second-guess an idea to death, man. Look around you. Go to a movie. Watch the movie. And if it sucks, know that somebody out there made something that sucks, and they did it. They got it done. What did you do? You know what I'm saying? And that's all I mean by that. All I mean by that is that you can do it too. Like if somebody else can make a shit movie, you can make a shit movie. If somebody else can go do a shit stand-up set, you can do a shit stand-up set.
And the one variable,
at least you're getting shit done.
The variable between those two people are that one has confidence. Like, I've seen the shittiest actors get booked constantly on TV shows.
Go watch CW, bro. It's wall-to-wall shit actors.
But they're
except
really
for Emily
confident.
Bett. She's great. She's
wonderful. She's really great. Is that CW?
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, yeah, so they have confidence. Like, I've seen really confident, mediocre actors book a lot of work because they're very confident. Mm-hmm. And that translates. Like, people pick up on the vibe that you're putting out. So if you yourself believe in yourself and you think you're confident and stuff, then people will pick up on that. Similarly, if you don't think very highly of yourself, you're putting out those vibes subconsciously too. And they're like, people won't be able to put their finger on why they can't trust you or don't like you, but there's like that a reason out like that you subconsciously put out there.
Confident people who act like lizards in scenes book shit. Okay, how do I know that? Because there's this fucking show called Pretty Little Liars, and that guy, I don't even know what his name is, Chuck or something. Holy shit, brother! Human beings Chuck? Are not lizards. Okay. They don't fucking move their heads like lizards. They don't talk like, hey, Nikki. So like, where were you last Thursday?
Well, that's very sexy when they do
right,
that.
Yeah.
I think they make those faces in the mirror. And they're like, this is my sexiest face.
I'm being really sexy and alluring right now. It's like, oh no, dude, you're actually just not even talking like a human being. Jesus. Like, if Pixar was trying to depict you, they wouldn't know what the fuck to do.
Depixar you.
See?
You like that?
No, I don't. but that's all I'm saying, man. Like other people who suck have done it. So what about you? Why can't you go up there and suck too?
Yeah.
Don't put all the pressure on you, man. You're putting all the weight on your shoulders.
Give yourself permission to suck.
If my brother Nate is listening, you do this too, you little piece of shit. You stop doing it.
He's so good too.
I know, but he gives himself no credit. He edited that Sticky Show video that we just
If you go to my YouTube channel right now, if you're not on it already, and watch the Sticky Show video of Drunk, Stoned, and Stupid, where we played Drunk, Stoned, and Stupid while we were drunk, stoned, and stupid.
Nate edited that, and he did a genius job. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
We're very happy. It's my favorite Sticky Show.
Yes, but he's developing more and more.
He is. We're proud of the boy, but that's all I'm saying is that I think that there's a lot of people in our lives who do this, and I think that it's debilitating and it stops forward movement.
Yeah, I agree. But once you get over that, man, you're gonna fly.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay, so we have one more.
Nate's starting to take off.
Yeah, so I know.
That's what I mean.
It's been amazing seeing that journey because like. He was like, you know, a guy in his shell, and he's really like, I feel like coming to his own, and it's really been really cool to
see. He's a fan favorite. We're gonna have to start cutting him from the show.
I know.
It's getting ridiculous.
He's more popular than us.
Are you right?
Nate, if you're watching this, more compliments than us.
You're fucking fired. You've never been more fired.
Yeah. You're getting too many compliments.
Yeah, it's, you know.
You're using way too many napkins.
You gotta control your people, Nate. It's our show.
All right. We got room for one more question. Okay. And then there's quite a few more other questions. So we're going to do another one. Don't worry. That's coming soon.
Yep.
So last question of the day. Hi, Nikki. I really love your podcast with Steve. Oh, it's my podcast with Steve.
Oh, shit.
The tables have turned.
I don't like it.
And I get a lot of insights from the relationship advice you guys talk about in several podcasts. Can we talk about setting rules and boundaries in a relationship? For example, I'm not comfortable with my boyfriend hanging out with the opposite sex alone, so that's our rule. But other people might think we're weird. So can we talk about that, please? Thanks. A girl with a lot of problems. That's not a lot of problem. Well, maybe you have more problems. But this particular problem, I don't think is a problem.
Sounds like you got one problem.
And a bitch ain't one.
That's right. I don't find this that weird.
No, it's not weird.
If I was to hang out with a chick alone,
I wouldn't like it.
In almost any context, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I had an ex that would do that, and I was trying to be chill girl cool about it, and like being like, yeah, no, like, I don't care.
I'm
like,
so chill, yeah. I'm so confident, and I'm like, really chill.
Yeah, and I would hang out purposely with guys of the opposite, or not guys of the opposite, people of the opposite sex of me. I would hang out with guys but almost like spitefully, you know, just because like, well, he's going to do that and then I do this, you know.
I'll make you jealous too.
Yeah, yeah. But
what a fun relationship.
But it's not fun. And also, I don't think he really like would get jealous. So, and I wasn't jealous, by the way. It was more the fact that I didn't even feel like we got to hang out that much. And I'm a quality time love language person. So quality time is my number one thing. And I felt like... we didn't get to hang out that much, and then he's hanging out one-on-one with some other girl. Yeah. Even nuts. If it's your friend. Impossible. I don't give a fuck who it is. It could be your fucking mother. If you're hanging out with your mother more than you're hanging out with me, it really fucking sucks for me.
I used to have girlfriends that I would, not girlfriends, actual girlfriends, but like people that I, girl who are girls that I talked to who are my friends, on the phone and stuff, and as soon as I got into a thing, I couldn't do it anymore. Because it's like, you have to respect your partner. Like, it's just weird to, it's like I'm on the phone with you for an hour and we're talking, even if we're talking about like your life or whatever, it's nothing weird. It's still weird that you're doing that with somebody who's not your person.
And if it's not like a mutual friend too, because I mean, if you were on the phone forever with like, let's say Tiff, I wouldn't give a fuck because that's like, we're both the same amount of close with Tiff, I feel like.
Yes.
And so if she had a question specifically for you about her relationship, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
But like, I think that going and hanging out with a person just for funsies, you know, they don't have a problem that you're like giving them advice for, but like they're just for funsies hanging out with you, going to lunch with your significant other. I don't know. That's not, even if your significant other is not, doesn't have bad intentions, like they're not being tempted by this person. You don't know what the girl's, what the friend, quote unquote friend's intentions are.
Right.
Some people have,
but for example, if I was to go to dinner with Tiff, that's a little bit weird.
That is weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody in our circle wouldn't think that that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, everyone would go, that's strange.
The only...
Even though I know Tiff and I know her husband and I'm really close with both.
Yeah.
It's just you don't put yourself in those situations where it's just weird.
Totally. I think the only carve-out would be business-related stuff. So, sure. Like, if you and Tiff got put on a project together and you had to organize, a brand deal or something like that, it would make so much sense that you would go to dinner and figure it out.
Yeah.
That's
like, remember when I was writing with Rebecca?
Yeah.
I used to go write with her.
Totally.
That's just me and her alone. No big deal. I know her husband. Who cares?
If it's business... That's fine, but like funsies, not cool.
Yeah.
Because I should have funsy times.
Yeah, where's your funsy times?
I have funsy times, and if you want to have funsy times, you could have it with your guy friends.
Exactly.
I don't know why a girl has to give you funsy times.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I know. That's why we work together.
Yeah.
Because, that was my point that I was going to circle back on, is that I was made to feel weird about this in my last relationship. I was made to feel like I was being too judgmental or possessive or jealous or whatever, and I wasn't even controlling. I was like, go ahead and do that, but I feel like less than about it, you know. I wouldn't stop someone from doing that. It just makes me feel bad, and I feel like if you were a partner that like cared about that you would like respect.
So to answer your question out there, your feelings are not...
They are valid.
Yeah, they're not invalid. They're very valid.
They're very valid.
And I think they're pretty justified too. And if your guy has a problem with it, you send him on over here and we will set him straight.
I don't know if her guy has a problem with it either. It
sounds chill.
For example, I'm not comfortable with my boyfriend hanging out with the opposite sex alone. So that's our rule. That's their rule together.
Oh, okay.
But other people might think we are weird.
I don't think you guys are weird.
Nah. I think you should
send your guy over here anyway. We'll set him straight.
The first thing you should do in relationships is set rules and boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys want to have an open relationship, that is a boundary. It's a very much more open boundary, but it's still a boundary. Like, there's an agreement in place. There's something that you are both comfortable with. And if there's something that one person isn't comfortable with, there should be a boundary there. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe you're not compatible.
Yeah.
But
open relationships aren't for us, but that doesn't mean it's not for you.
Right.
And so you set your boundaries your way.
Right. I firmly agree with setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And in friendships too. Like sometimes friendships can, they can ask too much of you. And I'm like, yo, I need to set a boundary here.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much of me in the day.
But there's more ask than anything else, I will say.
There's like 90% ask.
Yeah. So there is a more of that to go around.
It really is unfair. My torso is like no torso.
It's really too bad we don't have an open relationship because you have so much ass to go around.
Truth.
Well.
Truth. Well, maybe I'll get a reduction.
There you go. That would really please me. Yeah. Okay, that'd be great.
I thought you'd like that. All right. Well, that is the end of our questions today. Thank you so much for submitting them. If you have a question you would like us to answer or a topic in general, you can always email us podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. We also have a hotline that's listed in the description below. I don't have the number offhand, but it's listed in the description.
It's down
so
there.
If you really want to call, if you really want to share your voice with us, you'll look it up.
If you have questions for us, please send them to podcast@nikki.limo.
I said that already.
Yeah, but a man's voice always is more authoritative, and so I feel like I will reach them.
Yeah, especially with the @nikki.limo. It really tells them who's boss here.
So please do that. Thank you.
Also rate us on
helps a lot.
On
you have
iTunes.
No idea. It helps so much. You it have really no idea. Please do it. If you haven't done it and you've been listening to our show, come on, please just do it already.
Or if you're on YouTube, you could just like it. And leave us a comment.
Yes,
that helps also.
Thank you.
And final thoughts, Steve?
My final thought, I met Pauly Shore yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to brag about it.
I met him so many times.
Yeah,
I worked on a movie with him.
But I wanted to brag, though.
Now, why?
Because nobody listening has met Pauly Shore.
How do you know? He's met a lot of people.
Oh, Mark has. Well, I'm not talking to Mark. All right.
You know who hasn't probably? Nate.
Yeah. Hey, Nate, you probably hadn't even met Paul Shore.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
So are you telling us your final thought to tell people to meet Paul Shore?
I think that you should meet Paul Shore, yeah. Whoever's listening, you should probably meet Paul Shore. That'll help a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My final thought is an actual final thought, which is to like stop fucking ignoring your intuition. Okay, it's really important, and I feel like over time it's gonna get so tiny and little that you're not even gonna be able to feel it or know it exists anymore, and you'll completely deprave yourself of everything you could have been. So it's important. All right, go listen to that intuition. Give it some time of day.
Also, your dreams can be accomplished literally anytime.
You already said your final thought.
No, your dreams can be accomplished literally anytime.
Pauly Shore.
So, like, let's say
you wasted it.
You want to be on Saturday Night Live one day? Well, you know, after you're 65, you've done it responsibly.
Yeah.
Go audition for Saturday Night Live. You'll do great.
Kill it. You know, it's kind of fucked up they don't have anyone over 65.
I think so, too. There's
SNL?
No representation.
No representation.
Where's the representation?
Exactly. That's our both final thought.
Yep.
Is SNL should have more senior citizens.
Plus.
Yeah.
Please fix that.
Thank you, Lauren. Thanks, Lauren. All right.
He's the regular listener.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of this.
And Lauren likes to talk to the radio too. So he's in the car right now. He's like, okay, yeah, well, all right.
And he's talking back to us.
Yeah, he's talking.
Because you're telling people to talk back to the podcast.
Yep, he does.
Yeah. Wonderful. I love that mental picture. Great. Well, thanks for listening/watching. If you're looking on YouTube, you're a real one. A lot of dad pointing fingers
really cool.
at you right now.
Yeah, you did.
I'm pointing fingers. Yep. Pointing dad fingers at you.
At least they're polite fingers.
And
we'll see you guys.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
And I'm going to say other celebrity names by the first name because it's
Go
really
ahead.
Cool.
Go. What else?
George.
That's not what George who?
Clooney.
Okay. Yeah, you should all meet George Clooney.
You should meet
I do
George
agree with that
as
one.
Well.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself.
I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.